Hebrews 12, starting in verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, Lord, and I ask that you would fill me afresh with your Spirit to preach at this service. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth and produce fruit for your glory. I ask that you would help me to communicate clearly, and Lord, again, that you would prepare your people's hearts to receive from you. And I pray this in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. And all God's people said, amen. It's so good to be back to mostly normal, isn't it? It's great. We're seated in the regular setup. Last week was so much fun. First service was our mask mandatory up until last week, and it was so great to see people most of them didn't have masks on. Everybody's smiling. It's like the Cheshire cat. Nobody could get the grin off their face because they were so happy. And I heard a lot of comments after that service, but it's great to be back to mostly normal and getting things moving forward. You know, this section of Scripture is kind of hard, isn't it? It's one of those sections you almost look like and you go, boy, it'd be kind of nice if that weren't in there. But it is, and it's there for a purpose. You know, if we were to set up a line and say, okay, if you would like God to discipline you, please stand in that line, I'm imagining that line wouldn't be real long. Because that's a hard thing. Because what we think of discipline is probably not what God's word is talking about here. Because what happens is that as we go to the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about running the race and to remove the sin and encumbrances that weigh us down. Well, we don't run the race the way we're supposed to. That's why that was there in the first part of this chapter. And because of that, because we don't run the way we do, God is going to bless us by helping us run better the race that is before us. And part of the way that he does that is by disciplining us. Okay? So what we see is this, that divine discipline proves that God loves us, and it also proves that we're his children. That's what we see here. That's the point here, is that God's discipline is proof that he loves us and that we're his children. Now, I think I need to start this out by trying to define the difference between divine punishment and divine discipline, okay? When it comes to divine punishment, God is acting as a judge, okay? He's the judge, and he is judging his enemies. That's what the Word of God says we are if we do not know Christ, enemies of God. And so he is judging his enemies, and he is judging them righteously because he is a righteous judge. But he is judging them, and he's going to bring forth wrath and condemnation as retribution for their sin against him. You say, boy, I don't like to hear that at church. Well, that's just the truth, because God is a holy God, and he is a righteous judge. And so he has to do that. And so what happens is when there's divine punishment, God is in that role. That's why if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, God's divine punishment for your sin was carried out on Christ. That's who received that divine punishment that you deserved. If you're here today, you know that, listen, Our sin separates us from God. Sin is defined by what God's word says it is. And our sin separates us from God for all eternity. And God carries out the judgment, the righteous judgment, of his wrath being poured out on all who would sin and rebel against him in hell. We don't like that. But there was nothing we could do to take care of that issue on our own. You know, some people think, well, if my good outweigh my bad, then that's good enough. That's not true, because the sin that you've had still has to be punished. And so what happens is there was nothing we could do. There was no hope, because God's requirement to spend eternity in heaven was perfection. You could never sin ever in thought, word, or deed. And we have all sinned and failed and fallen short, every one of us. And so we were in a spot that we could not get out of on our own. And because of God's incredible love, he sent his son, Christ, who did meet the requirements in order to spend eternity in heaven. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. So he met the requirements that we couldn't. And then he went to the cross. And because God is not only loving, but he's also just, Jesus was punished for the sins of all who would know Christ as Lord and Savior. And so he was punished for our sins. God's divine punishment was carried out upon Christ for all who would believe in Christ. It is by God's grace he gives this salvation freely, by faith in Christ alone. And so divine punishment was carried out for your sin, but you're not the one that is going to receive that due to the fact that Christ died for your sins and he paid the price for you. So we've moved from that, from divine punishment, and we're into this place called divine discipline. Well, in divine discipline, here's the difference. God is acting as a father, not as a judge. God is acting as a father towards his children, not a judge towards his enemies. And the purpose for God doing that is not retribution like a judge, but rather, his purpose is that we would grow in godliness and holiness. You see the difference? It's important to define that, because I think too easily when we're talking about divine discipline, we shove it over into the punishment area. And we think God's mad at me and he's carrying out this wrath upon me. That's taken care of through Christ. So what we see here is that God is our loving Father who is disciplining his children that we might grow to become more like Jesus. The hand that disciplines is also the hand that loves you. Big difference, big difference. And the enemy likes to confuse those two. What we see is this, is that divine discipline is a mark of genuine sonship. Let me ask you, if you're a parent, did you go around disciplining everybody else's kids? Some of you probably said, yeah, I did occasionally. But generally speaking, you discipline your own children, don't you? That's who you discipline. That's why this is a beautiful picture of our sonship, because discipline is a picture of a father disciplining their son. And so that's what we see here, that discipline is part of God growing his own children up, maturing them. Discipline is part of the Holy Spirit preparing us for our inheritance. And here's why I say that, because you have to understand, when we read through this section of Scripture, it was talking about illegitimate children. Take a look. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be wary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And then in Revelation 3, 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. What we see here is that there are illegitimate children, and they're not going to respond the same way to correction that a legitimate son does. Back then, when this was written, and as I said, later in this section, it talks about illegitimate children. Here's what happened. An illegitimate child did not receive discipline, but they also didn't receive any inheritance. Really important to understand. And that's why when I say that discipline is part of the Holy Spirit preparing us for our inheritance, it's because when we look back and we see how the context of what this was written in, that was part of what illegitimate children did not receive. Not discipline and no inheritance. And so what we see is this, is that discipline is an essential part of a father-son relationship. It goes hand in hand. That's what the Word of God says. Take a look again. Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? That's crazy is what he's saying. Every father disciplines their son. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What we see here is that when it comes to parenting, it's tough, isn't it? I was talking about the fact that if you're a son, your father's going to discipline you. Well, as we see in this section of Scripture, it's the earthly father and the heavenly father. And, you know, good fathers try as best they can to discipline their children in love, but we often fail, don't we? It's a difficult thing. We're imperfect, and many times we discipline out of anger. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad always disciplined in anger, always. And what happened was is that there were times when he should have disciplined me and he didn't. And you look at it and you go, okay, why did you have to respond like this? Why out of anger? And it confuses you. And what happens is then we get a certain picture of who God is by the picture we have from our parents, by our father in particular. And so what happens is that carries over into our relationship with God. If you were a parent, or if your parents disciplined you in anger, disciplined you when you shouldn't have been, etc., it can really affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It does have an effect. I would say this, if you're one of those parents that discipline in anger, because I did, we have a tendency to parent the way we were parented. And so early on what happened in my family was I had my children, and I found that when I was aggravated and frustrated, I would discipline a lot quicker, and I would discipline in anger, because that's the way I was raised. And I found many times that I had a hard time understanding where and when I shouldn't discipline. And one day, Lisa said to me, and I so much appreciated it, I disciplined one of my guys for something, and it was clear that, you know, I was frustrated with just life, and I took it out on them. And she said, babe, realize that we should discipline our children for rebellion, not for childishness. I never heard that. And, you know, it's that rebellion when you say, hey, I want you to put that down or you're going to get hurt, and they look at you and then they do it right. That's a rebellion, right? That gets discipline. But if they're just being kids, you know, you correct them, but do they get the full discipline of, you know, if they were in rebellion? No. They're just childish, especially boys. Little boys, right? You got little boys. You try to tell them, hey, don't do that, you know. And like 30 seconds later, they forget what you just said to them. And they do it again. And so what we do is we get angry and we get frustrated and we correct in anger then. He's not listening to me. He's a child. He's not thinking like an adult, okay? So cut him some slack. Keep teaching. Keep growing here. But does that deserve the full force of dad? If it's not rebellion, don't go there. If it is, then it's time to discipline pretty harshly. People will struggle with that. I would say this. Sometimes we look at this and we just think it's dad that is doing this, disciplining in anger. It's not bound to a gender, okay? I've seen mothers discipline in anger. I've seen it in stores where kid does something, and mom grabs hold of that kid by the shoulder and throws them down or says words to them. So this is not limited to dads. Moms, you can discipline in anger. You can discipline in ways that they shouldn't be disciplined as well. So it's not based on gender. I would say this, if you disciplined out of anger, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of this, please listen. Ask your children to forgive you. Ask your children to forgive you. We say, well, wait a minute, they're kids. We shouldn't have to do that. Yes, you should, because you've sinned. And when we sin, we're to repent and seek forgiveness if forgiveness is needed. And it doesn't talk about age there, right? So if you've sinned against your children, the Holy Spirit convicts you of that, then you need to ask, hey, you know what, son, I am sorry. What I just did was wrong. I was angry. And I responded out of my anger. Would you please forgive me? So I want to encourage you that if the Holy Spirit convicts you of some of this, then immediately ask for forgiveness. It's a beautiful model for your children of humility and how they should also parent, because otherwise they fall into the same line. It seems like we parent generation after generation after generation the same way, and it got to be a place where that is broken. And so by us seeking forgiveness of our children when we have sinned against them, it's a healthy, healthy, good thing. I would also say this. If you are in a situation where your parents disciplined you wrongly, okay, out of anger like my parents did, I want to encourage you to forgive them, okay? They're people. They're sinners, just like we are. And they made mistakes. And I want to encourage you to release that, to say, you know what, in my heart, I just need to forgive them. Now, that doesn't mean that if they moved over all the way to abuse, that there's anything that we have to say that was okay. It's not. Sin is sin, okay? But we still need to forgive. Otherwise, we're the ones that are bound up, not them. So I want to encourage you, if you had that relationship with your parents and they didn't discipline you in love and kindness, you need to forgive, okay? Move forward. Let it go. What we see here is that we are parented a certain way, and especially the way our dads parented us and disciplined us carries over into our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the way it works. I mean, I was amazed at how much it affected me. There's a track, it's called The Father Heart of God, a great opportunity to see how we have a tendency to take the way we were parented and bring it into our relationship with our Heavenly Father and how it affects that. For me, my dad only corrected me in anger. And the only time I ever had any time with him was when I screwed up. So I found early in my Christian walk that many times I would not go to God unless I was asking him to forgive me because I messed up. And when I did, I always felt like God had this heavy hand over me. And I read that and I remember thinking, you know what? You're not like that, God. You're not like that. You're not like my dad. You're the perfect father. You're the perfect father. I don't have to respond like that dog, you know, that's been beat. You know, you see it, you go up to the house and it's a dog that the master beat it. And that's how it disciplined it, just out of anger. And when you walk up, that dog has a tendency to cower, right? Why? Because he's afraid it's going to happen again, just like it did before. And then there's the dog who was raised in a home where, yeah, he's still disciplined, right? But it was discipline done in love. And that dog is the one wagging his tail and everything else, right? How do you approach your Heavenly Father? Is it like that cowering dog expecting him to drop the hammer? Because he's not like that. Our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He disciplines us perfectly at the exact right time, in the exact right amount, always, always in unconditional love, and always with absolutely pure motives for his glory and our good. Always perfect motives. That's our Heavenly Father, and we have to make sure that we understand who he is. And understand his discipline in our life and how it comes forth. This word discipline is very interesting here. as I was doing this study. The word, you could see it, the Greek word is paideia. Paideia. Okay? All right, all you Star Wars fans, Padawan? Maybe that's where it came from. But when you look at the meaning of that word, it means this, disciplinary correction. It's used of training children. So it's a training thing. Remember, we've passed from this punishment, divine punishment, to divine discipline, and the goal of divine discipline is that we would grow to be more like Christ. It's a training us, teaching us to become more like Christ. And that's this picture of discipline here. It's for correction, okay? When you think of this, if you're disciplining your children, you want to correct them. They've done something wrong. When we have sinned and we just want to hang on to that, then God's going to love us enough to discipline us. You know, we should, as it says in the first couple verses, we should let that go. Well, when we don't, and we want to hold on to our sin, then God's going to love us enough to correct us, and he's going to discipline us. Sometimes the purpose for the discipline is for protection. You know, the best word picture I can give you there is, you know, the stove. That was all the, you know, there's a hot stove, and the little kid's going to touch the stove, and parents say, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. And the kid kind of keeps going, don't you do that. Why? That parent wants to protect that child. And God does the same thing for us. He knows the devastation that sin can cause in our lives. He knows that better than anyone. And so in his love and in his kindness, there are times when he is going to discipline us and it's going to be painful, but it's for the purpose of protecting us. To protect us from the harm that sin would cause in our lives. Another reason that God disciplines us is for education, for ourselves and for others. To teach us a lesson. You know what, I'm going to discipline you. This is not wise to do this. And here's why. Here's the end results. And so I'm going to let you suffer the end results there so you learn the lesson. Okay? And then what happens is that what we've learned, it's not just to educate us, but that we might use that to help others. You know, it's one of these things where you go, I've been down that road, trust me. I've been a believer and I've been down that road and I know where it ends. And I'm telling you, don't go there. So then God can use what he taught us to teach others. And you know, you can either learn the hard way or the easy way, as my dad used to say. And the easy way is to learn from other people's mistakes. Okay? That's the easiest way. And so this is a picture of part of God's discipline, to teach us lessons and to also maybe use our experience to teach others. And the final way is to mature us, to grow us up in our faith. Hard things that happen in our lives help us grow up in our faith. It reveals some areas that maybe we don't see. I look at this as the reason, is the primary reason why God did what he did with Job. When you think about Job, difficult things. And, you know, Satan comes up to God and he says, hey, you know, and God says to Satan, he says, hey, you know, have you seen my servant Job? And then we see all the things that happened to him. We think, well, why did God do that? Why was all that stuff happening? Why did he use this tool, Satan, to accomplish something in Job? Well, because Job had an issue buried deep in his heart that he didn't see. He's pretty self-righteous, pretty prideful. He didn't see that, and God loved him enough to address that issue. And you get to the end of the book of Job, you know, God basically says, hey, well, why don't you know so much, Job? Why don't you tell me where I store the sun or store the rain and the snow? Why don't you tell me? And Job basically says, I'm undone. See, God loved him enough. There was this area of blindness, sin in his life, and God opened this up so that he would see it. And why? So he would mature in his faith. So he would grow in his faith. He would understand himself and his God better. And that's part of the discipline that God did in his life. When it comes to discipline, it's always painful, it seems, doesn't it? Always painful. You know, okay, finish the sentence. This is gonna hurt. What is it again? This is gonna. No, parents always say, this is gonna hurt me. more than it's going to hurt you. That's what, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And you're the kid getting it right, and you're going, oh, no, Dad. No, this is not going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me a lot, okay? So what we do is we do that. We dance that whole game, right? But discipline is painful. It's never easy or pleasant, right? At least not for the moment. It's hard, but it's not meant to discourage us. See, this is where the enemy comes in. When God is disciplining us, he likes to say, the Father doesn't love you. Look at how you're in this difficult, painful situation. Your Father doesn't love you. If he did, he certainly wouldn't be allowing this to happen in your life, wouldn't be doing these types of things. And so what happens is he lies to get us to think we're under God's punishment instead of his discipline, out of love. And so what happens is God's discipline is not to discourage us. It's not to cause us to give up, to throw in the towel. That's not God's purpose. It's something so much more beautiful. Again, it's to produce the fruit, peace, and righteousness in our lives that is going to be profitable for all eternity. God's doing a good work in us when hard things are happening. Take a look again at God's word. Hebrews 12, verse 5. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. And verse 8. If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You see, what happens is this. Trials and difficulties are coming in your life. They're in everybody's life. They're coming. But how we respond to them is a choice. That's a choice. And what we see here is that an illegitimate child will respond in a certain way, whereas a true child will respond differently. An illegitimate child will respond to discipline in, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It wasn't that bad. I think God's overreacting. He's the perfect father. He knows the perfect way to discipline. But we say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or even scarier is this. There's an area of sin in your life that you've been walking in for a long time, and you have not yet received the discipline of God. And so what we do is we say, it's no big deal. Besides, God doesn't care. He's not disciplining me for this. Probably not sin. You know in your heart that's not true. That's a dangerous place to be. When we're walking in sin and we're flaunting it and we're trying to say, hey, God doesn't care. Otherwise, he would have disciplined me by now. That's not the way that we respond if we're God's children to discipline that he brings for us. Some people are crushed by it, you know. God doesn't love me. He's disciplining me. He doesn't love me. That's not true. It's the exact opposite. Because God loves, he's disciplining. That's what you do, isn't it? I mean, when you disciplined your children, wasn't it for the purpose that they would mature? It was for their good? And we're imperfect parents. He's the perfect parent. It's a beautiful picture. So he's not trying to discourage you. He's not trying to break you. He's not. But he wants to see you respond in a way that brings him honor and glory. And what is that? The Holy Spirit dwells within you so you can respond in this way because of the Spirit of God who dwells within you. When we are disciplined by the Lord, we need to treat these difficult things that are happening, suffering, trials, whatever it might be that God is using, whoever he's using to discipline us. We look at those things and we realize, you know what, this is an opportunity for me. This is an opportunity for me to grow in my faith. This is an opportunity for me to trust God more. This is an opportunity for me to grow, to be more like Jesus. That's the right response. When hard things are happening, God, what are you trying to teach me? This is an opportunity. You're growing me up. Show me. I know that you love me, and this is part of your plan to grow me up and mature me. You see, trials, difficulties are going to come. God's going to discipline all his children. But how are we going to respond to it? Take a look at the words. This is another. Just, you see the beauty of God's word as it's woven here in chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 10 through 11. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Okay? So he's talking about discipline and training. It's incredible. That word trained in verse 11. Do you know what word we get in English from that Greek word? Gymnasium. Gymnasium. Now, what's interesting here is that it indicates physical training or exercise, right? But it literally means this, to strip naked for an athletic event is what it was used for in reference to. Isn't that interesting? Because then you go back to verse 1, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The reason this word was used, trained, was because the athletes would strip naked so there was nothing to do what? To hinder them. So you see the beauty of God's word here. You go back to chapter 11, and we see the hall of fame of faith. And we go, boy, they're an example for us. And then it moves in, listen, you need to run the race to remove all those encumbrances, right? Just like the people in chapter 11 had to do, and they looked ahead. And then it goes on, and you know what? You're not going to run that race without encumbrances. Because of that, there's going to be some discipline coming into your life. Just like it did in the people in chapter 11. And it's a good thing, because God is training us to become more like Christ. It's part of his perfect, glorious, wonderful plan. And that's what we see here. The word trained goes all the way back up. And the idea here, when it's talking about the word trained in gymnasium, is a voluntary submission with a right attitude for the goal that you're trying to meet. Voluntary submission. We voluntarily delight in God's discipline. And we submit to it with the right attitude. You know, okay, if you go to the gym and you're exercising, you have a goal, right? You want to lift this much weight this many times, whatever that goal is. Okay, so you go to the gym, you do it voluntarily, nobody forces you. You go to the gym, you have a goal, and you're working out for that purpose, to reach that goal. Okay? People love doing that. See, I don't go to the gym. I know, I'm fat, I'm old. I don't like going to the gym, right? My boys love going to the gym, all right? They go all the time. My girls do too, when I think about it. And they go to the gym. They got a purpose. They do it joyfully. They do it voluntarily. They got a goal in mind, all right? My goal in mind is to, you know, just kind of make it through right now. Maybe someday I'll be stirred up to go to the gym, but right now, no. I'm just being honest with you. And so what happens is this is a picture of training, and it's a picture of God raising us up to be more like Christ. It's this submission to the training of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord. What we see is that God is working in us to make us more like Jesus. A true child of God submits to God's discipline voluntarily. And sees the hard things that are happening in your life, the difficult things, as designed by God for a purpose. And that purpose is that we would grow in holiness. Be more like Jesus. See, those are good things. But sometimes they come through hard situations. Brothers and sisters, when we're disciplined by God, who knows what tool he will use? Individuals, what situations, whatever it might be. But when we're disciplined by God, what it proves is that he loves us. Not that he's angry with us, that he's mad at us, but that he loves us. And that we're truly his children, because he's loving us enough to discipline his children. means that out of love, our God is disciplining all his children. That's what it says here. All of God's children get disciplined. If you think you're the only one getting disciplined, you're wrong. Because the Word of God says we all get disciplined. That means the godly ones and, I don't know, the troublemakers, the irresponsible ones, we're all getting disciplined. Because God wants more for us. He loves us. And so we see that he disciplines all his children for growth in Christ-likeness. So if you're kind of in a difficult situation, God may be disciplining you in this situation, examine your heart. God, is there anything you're trying to teach me through? Is this your hand of discipline? What are you trying to teach me? And submit to whatever it is. Say, God, I trust you. And desire to grow and learn through it. Say, God, this is hard. I don't understand it, but I know that you love me. I'm your child, and this discipline is coming, and it's hard, but I know you've got a purpose. Help me not to try to squirm away from it and not deal with the issues you're trying to bring forth. And I want to say this. It says here that our earthly fathers disciplined us, and it was beneficial for us. That's what it says here in the Word of God. They disciplined imperfectly. Our Heavenly Father disciplines absolutely perfectly out of love. So if the discipline that our earthly parents gave us was beneficial, how much more beneficial will discipline from our loving, glorious, wonderful God be than even that? Because he has a goal in mind. He has a goal in mind, and that we'd be more like Jesus. And he has given the Spirit to dwell within us so we're able to walk and do what he's calling us to do. He will work in our lives through discipline to make us more like Jesus because he loves us and we're his children. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes your word is hard. In our flesh, we fight against it. Intellectually, Lord, we know the truth. But we can be so self-centered. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us. Forgive me for looking down on your discipline at times. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts, that we would receive your discipline, Lord, that we would submit to you, and we would have hearts to hear what you want to teach us through the discipline. God, grant us the power to walk in your grace and your mercy. Help us to be more like Jesus so that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen.